for a few weeks on Sunday morning. I think it's very relevant. None of us can escape this issue. Last week, I talked about your purpose is calling. And we took a look at the book of Ecclesiastes, written by King Solomon. And it is a soul-searching book. All of us here are soul searchers, at least from time to time. I mentioned last week that God is never a victim of randomness. He does nothing by happenstance. God does everything purposefully. And each of us have a purpose, a reason for living. There is an existential crisis going on in our day, perhaps worse than ever because of the pandemic and other things the world has faced recently. And the question has come home to many people in recent weeks and months. Why do I even exist? What is the meaning of life? What could my purpose on earth possibly be? Today I'm talking about trivial pursuit. It is Solomon's search for the meaning of life. Last week, I gave the good news to everybody that if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. And we looked at a few phrases in Scripture, one that I love in the Old Testament, the phrase, handfuls of purpose. God has purpose for all of us by the handfuls. Job, in his days of vexation, said, "My purposes are disappointed." Have you ever had a purpose disappointed in your life? Another phrase in Scripture, frustrating their purpose. Has your purpose ever been frustrated? And then the phrase in the book of Acts, they obtained their purpose. And I'm saying if you have a pulse, you have a purpose, it can be disappointed, it can be frustrated, but it can be obtained, and God has purpose for His children, handfuls of purpose. I mentioned last week that Solomon, and we're in a case study of his life as we search for the meaning and the significance each of us have in life. Solomon wrote three books. That's his legacy. In his young days, just as a young man, he wrote the Song of Solomon. That was his first book. It's a youthful look at love. It's a book of poetry and romance. He was expressing as a young man how he felt about the love of his life. And then in his middle age, his second book was the book of Proverbs. It's a book of wisdom. We read a chapter every day. It helps us get through life. Solomon wrote the Proverbs in his middle age. And later in his life, in his older age, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And that's really a tough pill to swallow sometimes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about the absurdity of the human condition, searching for something that the world was not giving him. He talked about the futility of life, and that's something all of us have considered at some point in our journey. Solomon's the one who said it first, vanity, vanity, everything is vanity. He wasn't talking about pride and ego when he used the word vanity in his day. He was talking about emptiness, futility. And perhaps you've had a few of those days when everything seemed meaningless and you wondered why you should even get yourself out of bed in the mornings. I won't ask for a show of hands. Now, I'm a positive, upbeat kind of guy. I'm always wonderful. I'm always happy. I make the best of it. My glass is always half full, usually more than half, and running over from time to time. I'm not a glass half empty kind of a fella. But we do need to take a sobering look at the book of Ecclesiastes. Every word in Scripture was given by inspiration of God for our admonition and our exhortation and even our doctrine and correction. So Ecclesiastes is in there with all the rest. Solomon wrote it. He was the wisest man that ever lived. And even with all the wisdom he had, he could not escape this great question. What is the meaning of life? And he even wrote this. In Ecclesiastes 2:16, he said, all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. I almost want to end it all. Look at that. Everything that there is will be forgotten. Everything we're doing right now will be forgotten in the days to come. Now, for those of you who know me, I have no apologies. For those of you who don't, perhaps I should apologize for this reference. It will date you if you're of a certain age. But anybody remember Porter Wagner? In one generation, nobody would have ever known who Dolly Parton is had it not been for Porter Wagner. But the very next generation would never remember who Porter Wagner was if it were not for Dolly Parton. All that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. Solomon was so discouraged at times while he was searching for the meaning of life, and we read it in Ecclesiastes, that at one point Solomon said, the day of one's death is better than the day of his birth. I'm eventually getting the good news. And the truth is, there is a God-shaped vacuum in each of us, in the heart of every human being, and it cannot be filled by any created thing. Solomon had to wrestle with that truth. Now, we're talking about searching for purpose, significance, and for the meaning of life. But today, I want to share four areas of our lives where meaning cannot be found. Sometimes it's helpful while you're searching for something to know where not to search. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, Solomon said, I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. And then Solomon said, the greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow. This is a balance beam we're on right now, because I do want to speak balance to this truth. But Solomon is saying here, higher learning does not equate to contentment. I say that because I'm a believer in higher learning. I believe education is a good thing as long as we receive knowledge that does not puff up, but the right kind of knowledge. I'm looking out at men and women in the congregation who believe in higher learning, and you've received degrees in higher education. And all of that can be good, but it will not satisfy the search in the core of who we are, our search for the meaning and the purpose of our life. It's a good thing. Please show up to class tomorrow if you're in school. Don't bail out and quit. It can be a good thing, but Solomon had all the wisdom, and he said, here's where I can find my meaning for existence. I will set out to learn everything. And then he said, the greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. The Message translation, Solomon said, I've stockpiled wisdom and knowledge. It's nothing but spitting into the wind. Now, King James and the New King James Version, he refers to this phrase several times in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's like grasping for the wind. Imagine taking your hand, no matter how big your hand is, and scooping up the wind and clenching your fist, catching the wind inside your hand. Impossible. And so much of Solomon's pursuit in search of the meaning of life was like trying to grasp the wind in your hand. Solomon was the best educated man of his generation, and his wisdom is legendary. Yet, to his surprise, the more wisdom and knowledge he obtained, the emptier he felt. Now, we have more information, more access to knowledge right here in the palm of our hand than entire nations used to possess in their huge libraries. You don't even have to go, why do they build libraries? I mean, any article that's ever been written, any word you want definition to, any book you would want to read, reviews. Don't we love reviews on anything before we buy? Right here. Just type in one or two key search words, and what you're looking for is right here. We have all of the information and knowledge at our fingertips now, and yet there have never been so many unhappy and unfulfilled people still searching for the meaning of life in spite of all of the education and access to knowledge. So Solomon said, I set out to learn everything, but I didn't find the meaning of life in any of it. And then let me say, secondly, one area that you don't even need to test, because the meaning of your life will not be found there, is the pursuit of pleasure. Solomon was on so many trivial pursuits in search of the meaning of life. And he talked about pursuing pleasure, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1. I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? Now that's one we all face, especially younger, growing up through adolescence and young adulthood. There is that temptation to seek after pleasure. The Amplified Bible says, I will test you with pleasure and gratification, so enjoy yourself and have a good time. And Solomon determined that pleasure is fleeting and artificial. So if you're searching for significance and purpose and a meaning for your life, you will not find it in your pursuit of pleasure. Now, I say enjoy life. In fact, Solomon reaches that conclusion. Just enjoy life as best you can, but realize your meaning to life is not found in pleasure. And the only good pleasure for us is the pleasure that his father, King David, talked about when he wrote the book of Psalms. And he said, Father, at your right hand there is pleasure forevermore. That's the context of pleasure for the believer. And then the third area of your life where it's a futile search to even go there thinking that this will be meaningful for you and this will satisfy your search for purpose in life is work and accomplishment. Now, it used to be that only men struggled with this, that a man's identity was based in large part on the work of his life and what he did in his life, the kind of job he had, the amount of money he made. But in our world today, we have almost just as many women in the workforce as we do men. And so this trap is genderless. This trap will hook a woman or a man who throws themselves into the corporate world and tries to climb the ladder and accomplish everything they possibly can, thinking that that will satisfy the nudge on the inside of them that's pushing them toward a meaning for life. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 4, Solomon said, I made my works great. I built my houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made for myself water pools from which to water the growing trees in the grove. He was a busy man, thinking, if I build more, if I accomplish more, if I work harder to achieve success, then I'll be satisfied with the meaning of my life. And down in verse 17 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he said, therefore, I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Boy, your purpose can be elusive if you're looking in the wrong places. But men and women alike in our culture today hit the ground running every day, every morning, get out to do the same thing they did yesterday all day long, and it wore them out yesterday, and they came home yesterday and collapsed, and today they're doing it again. And of course, don't get me wrong, we have to work. But we cannot find the secret to our meaning in work and accomplishments alone. It's our frantic activity level. You would think with all of the conveniences we have today, we would be less frantic instead of more frantic. It's like a rat race and people having to work and overtime and second and third jobs just to stay alive. I get it. I think it's a product of the curse of sin. After all, with the original sin, work was brought into the picture. And having babies, mothers, blame Eve for that one. And then by the sweat of our brow, we had to labor and toil for a living. It's a part of the curse of sin, and we still live on a planet that's been marked by the curse of sin. Thank God, though, for redemption in the new covenant. Let's work with that. Many people are convinced that the opposite of an empty life is a full schedule, a rat race. And Solomon does bring balance there now. He's a balanced man in his wisdom. Oh, he had his day. It's exhausting to read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's like, oh, all this great Proverbs we got, all this wisdom. I could work all day on that one line out of Proverbs, but oh my God, it looks like somebody else totally wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, written by the same man who was having a bad hair day. But it's in the Word, and it's for our admonition, and it was inspired by the Holy Spirit to be included in Scripture. It's for our benefit. There's something there we need to look at. And today we're looking at the four things you should not search for if you really want purpose and meaning in your life. Solomon brought balance. He teaches that our work is generally worthwhile. It's something we have to do. It's something God enables us to do. But if we look to work as our source of ultimate meaning, we'll be disappointed. Solomon looked at his. He had built houses, plural. He had built the temple that his father only dreamed of building. Oh, yeah, he had great accomplishments, great achievements, and still wrote the book of Ecclesiastes in his later life. Solomon said, in essence, I can work all my life. I can work hard every day. And when I die, I'll leave everything I've worked for to others who may destroy everything I've built in my lifetime. And we want to believe that our accomplishments will lead to a satisfying significance. But Solomon tried it, and he said, it's not there. Now he brought some wisdom to the subject of work. He did appreciate a good work ethic. Balance is the way to live our lives, and Solomon brings it. He said, it is good to rejoice in all your labor, for it is your portion, and this is the gift of God. So, we've looked at three areas of our life where there is no need to even search for meaning there. And the fourth one and the final one. How many of you are excited about having Mother's Day lunch with your family? I think we're going to beat the Episcopals, the Presbyterians. I definitely know we're going to beat the Baptists. Definitely, to the restaurant today. The fourth area of your life, the last one I'll address this morning, to where it's a futile attempt to search in this area for meaning, is wealth. I know that's bad news. I know that breaks your heart right now, because there's something in us that, oh, if I could just have enough money. If money were not an issue, if I had always more than enough money, if I were a wealthy, if I won the lottery, well, I'd never have another cloud in the sky. But Solomon was the richest man in his day. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning at verse 7, he said, I acquired male and female servants, and I had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. That included his famous father, the great King David. Solomon said, I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers. I mean, he had the money to pay for the party. The delights of the sons of men and musical instruments of all kinds. So, I mean, if he could think it, he could buy it. If he could dream it up, he could finance it. He could write a check and it would always cover his dreams as he was chasing for the meaning of his life. And yet, he was left empty, depressed, and hopeless. I challenge you, read the book of Ecclesiastes. You'll need a good cup of coffee when you do. And don't stop in the middle. Power through all the way to the end. It's in there for a reason. And all of us know what it's like to wonder, why are we even in existence? What purpose does God have in me being here? And when you look at it simply, when we're born again, heaven is a certain thing. And you would think the best thing for us, since we know heaven is our destination, is as soon as we're born again and receive Christ into our life, that the Lord would just zap us right then and beam us up and go on. But he leaves us here for years. And he has a reason for it. He has a purpose and a meaning for each of our lives. If you have a pulse, what do you have? A purpose. If you're breathing, there's a reason you're still here. King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches. Materialism, one writer said, is actually a happiness suppressant, because the more we have what we want, the more we want what we don't have. It's a crazy merry-go-round. All of you have been on it. The more we have what we want, the more we want what we don't have. Materialism, That's not our answer. Wealth and riches, silver and gold, not the meaning of life. Jesus said it best in the New Testament. In Luke 12:15, he says, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And then a further word on that point. We're told what to seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His, and then all of these things will be added. We're stretching toward real meaning for life. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, and I'll close with this, because it's a New Testament solution to what Solomon was searching for and what all of us search for in our life. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And then set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Let me just throw this in for homework if you're interested. Do a search of the book of Ecclesiastes and find out how many times the phrase under the sun is mentioned by Solomon. Everything is emptiness under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. I mean, his depression and sense of hopelessness came because he was looking at things under the sun. And here, Paul in Colossians gives us a New Testament solution. Don't pursue anything much under the sun, but set your mind on things above. There's the meaning of life right there. We were born again to worship God. And even Paul in the New Testament, with all of his learning, with all of his degrees and education, with all of his accomplishments after his conversion, he listed all of them at one time. And he was, of Jews, a superior Jew. I mean, he was noble. He was certified among the Jews. But he said, everything I've ever done, everything I've ever accomplished, everything I've ever achieved, I will write it all off and call it a loss so that I can win Christ. There's our solution right there. Winning Christ. Have you won Him in your lifetime? Then when we win Christ, our affection turns to things which are above and not on the earth. Now, oh, while we're here, we've got to pay attention to some things under the sun. I mean, it's part of our natural life, but it's not our eternal life, and it's not our spiritual destiny. We're just on a temporary journey. We should have a passport that says we're a citizen of another kingdom. And when we take our last breath in this body, then eternity will still be there for us forever, for those of us who've won Christ. Paul said, Christ has made me a winner. He's what I've won. And I will give up everything I've ever achieved. I will count it a loss just that I might win Him and set my mind on things above. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody standing.